sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Figure au point. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak on Twitter, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. FYI, this podcast is brought to you, this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on Labor Day, September 5, 2022, and is brought to you by the letter FW. FW for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah, all right. For those, I hope you heard this because I'm not seeing it in my sound system. Oh shit, that's not loud enough. Let me make sure that very professional. Be very professional. What is it? Measure voice volume. The slider adjusts. Okay, and then. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, well, we'll find out in the post edit. I mean, yeah, in the post edit. So what happened is I legally acquired a software, a program that would, it's called SoundPad. This is not a commercial, it's not an official commercial, but it's just more me patting myself on the back because last episode, I think I mentioned in the last episode, 015, why would I say I am? I believe I mentioned how I needed to get, or I vowed to get something to play sound effects with. And I wrote that shit down. I made a to-do list, wrote that shit down, and guess what? I did it. Now, whether it's the best tool out there, I don't know. That's not the point. But the point is, I crossed something off my to-do list. Winning. Winning. Winning, kids. Winning. You could be just like me. Someone who crosses one item off his to-do list. All right. Yeah, welcome back. What else do we got? Okay, let me go through my notes. First things first. I had this thought that I wanted to share that... after last therapy session, after a lot of prayers on your part, after a conversation with the homie Roy Bennington, he's the dude who created my logo, and who drew up my logo. It was actually a joint effort. Sorry, he did all the work, but the thought process it was a conversation between us two that led to the creation of the logo. But either way, man, he's the guy responsible for this beautiful art that I envy, that I admiring. I finally decided that I'm going to put myself out there. What I mean by that is as I was recording these podcasts, hold on a second. Okay. The point I was going to make is I'm finally starting to work on the marketing plan or the planning out how I'm going to make myself known with this podcast. And part of the marketing plan I'm not actually writing a business plan or strategy plan. I'm just thinking these things out because that's what I love to do. Think. Yeah, as I was listening to this radio show on Radio-Canada, That's CBC, or French CBC. Or you fucking squarehead, you tech carries English people. And they have this show called Réflexion à voix haute. And in to translation, it means reflection. No, thinking out loud. That's pretty much what they're saying. Thinking out loud. And it just made me realize, see, on the show, it's two people talking, but I guess they get into the, it just made me think about what this podcast is about. So I did tell you that it was my journal. It was my soapbox. But it also is, I'm realizing this, it also is a place where I'm just thinking out loud. Sometimes, yes, I do say shit that I do mean. Like, fuck Whitey. Yo, I stand by that shit. I'm taking that shit to the grave. Yeah, I'm standing by that shit. But sometimes I'm just rinsing, marinating on thoughts, and I'm just saying it out loud. It's not necessarily that I'm taking a position or I'm not preaching to you about what you should believe. It's more trying to, it's like showing my work, showing your work. You know, I don't know, in math, if you're familiar, you'd get a formula, solve for X, and then there'd be an answer. You know, it might be, you know, X equals your mama, whatever. And but the teacher was also interested in seeing how did you get from the problem to the solution. So a lot of what I do, what I will be doing on this podcast, for those unfamiliar, is thinking out loud. It's pretty much thinking out loud, man. It's just, yeah, thinking out loud. And I'm wrapping this up, trying to figure out what this is. One line that's going to be in there is the réflexion à voix haute, or a lot of thinking out loud going on the podcast. Speaking of thinking out loud, this is kind of funny. I hate when I do this. So this is the part where I plug the last episode. Again, 015. Why should I say I am? Why would I say I am? Jesus Christ, Pete. The funny part is I forgot. There was something I forgot to mention on the last episode. And I remember being high and saying, oh, you need to say this about last episode as a plug or this final thought to wrap things up. And of course, I didn't write it down. I forgot what the thought is. But I'm just going to say it was a fun episode to record. See, for me, I define success for me not by how many people listen to it. It's more how I feel after I've recorded it. Usually it's like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Sopranos. There's a conversation Tony Soprano, the main character, is having with his psychiatrist, Dr. Melfi. And he explains to her, it's like, you know, sometimes when I come here, I feel like I'm taking a shit. And Dr. Melfi is like, well, I like to think of it more as giving birth. And it's more as a process of giving birth. And he's like, nah, it's more like taking a shit. And and I think what he means by that is just a sense of relief that you get afterwards of like so many thoughts just bottled up in your mind and making it exist in reality. I can't explain it. So I think that's how it feels, man. It's like every episode, this is kind of disgusting, and I know it's not going to be in the marketing plan, but a successful episode for me is like taking a shit. You know what I mean? That moment before you flush the toilet. No, it doesn't matter if you flush her. Okay, it doesn't matter if you flush. Shame on you if you're one of those people who drop a deuce in public places and don't flush afterwards. Fuck, you're lucky I'm not the king of the world, the emperor of this world, because it'd be a hanging offense where I'm from. But that's not the point. What I'm saying is that sense of relief you feel afterward when you just feel lighter. You felt like it's like an accomplishment. It's like, that's how I spell relief. Wasn't there a drug out there? R-E-L-I-E-F. Whatever. Relief. Damn, there was a jingle. I forget it. But my point is that sense of relief, that sense of, I got it out there. I got it. I put it out there. Now, I don't like the idea that I just told you that I, you know, every episode is me taking a shit and what you're getting the result. You're getting the result. That's, so I would make you the toilet. That's disgusting. Yeah, that's not the point. Whoo! It's a good thing I'm not popular. Anyway, yeah, no, that's not my point. My point is I am not giving you shit. Let's see what this product is. It's just these fucking thoughts. I just spend a lot of time processing it. And it just feels good when I said everything I feel I needed to have said. Sometimes I'll do shit like prepare and write my thoughts on paper so I don't ramble on like I'm going on right now. What is it? Okay, we're at 9 minute mark. And I feel like I haven't said anything really. Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't said shit. I haven't said, I feels like I haven't said anything, anything significant yet. But anyways, shout out to those of you still listening. What did I put? Yeah, so thoughts on the last episode is, yeah, go ahead and check it out, man. Check it out. Help me boost these numbers. No, sorry, I don't mean, look, listen to it or don't. I don't give a fuck. That's how it comes down to. Yeah, listen to it or don't. I refuse to use this podcast as a source of validation for my own validation. I really need to hire a marketing genius, a marketing person, because I know I'm fucking it up like a motherfucker. All right, the title of today's episode was a doozy. Well, not a doozy. It's I decided to go with Dying a Thousand Deaths. Dying a Thousand Deaths, it came to me there's two reasons. Okay, three things I'm going to explain. No, it came to me, one, while listening, I was on my way to therapy, and I was listening, If I Die Tonight by Tupac came on. Pussy and Papers, Poetry, Power and Pistol. Plotting and Murder, Motherfuckers Pull to Get You. Sorry, that's the first verse. Yeah, I was listening to that, but the song actually starts with some quote. I guess I should have looked that up, but at the intro, he just starts with, a coward dies a thousand deaths. A soldier dies but once. And the idea of a thousand deaths was just, it just sounded like some cool shit to say. But then, fast forward to therapy session, because right now I'm slowly bleeding. I'm explaining the title while slowly jumping into this week in therapy section of the podcast. And in therapy, okay, I'm not going to tell you the whole session, but one of my major takeaways from my therapy session was the courage, and which is probably the theme of today's episode, is the courage to be yourself, or in my case, the courage to be myself. She probably said something like, hey, you need to find the courage to be yourself. But, the courage to be yourself. And because she used the word courage, and I'm thinking of a thousand deaths, and how when it came to basically the idea of courage versus cowardice, it led me to asking the question, and I'll elaborate in the This Week in Therapy section. In the section is there was a moment where she just had me think. I was just thinking about the courage to be myself, but I was also thinking about what exactly is wrong being a coward. Again, I'll elaborate. What's wrong with being a coward? Let that thought marinate as I ramble on here. Before I continue, another person who's made a reference to a thousand deaths is Lauryn Hill in the song Manifest. Dope ass verse. See, I loved hard once. Deep in the return, in time and he tried to burn me like a perm. Throw my heart. Anyways, yeah. Lauryn Hill makes a reference to how her heart died a thousand deaths. And it had to do with, on one end, she is talking about courage. Hold on a second. Okay, sorry about that. That's my phone tripping. I installed this program called Telegram. I'll probably explain myself in the random section why the fuck I have Telegram on my phone. Anyways, but I guess I should shut it off. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut it off like a professional. But how are you going to know how popular I am if I don't leave my phone on? Anyways, yeah, so where was I? Yeah, Lauryn Hill just talking about a thousand deaths. The title of today's episode was going to be What's Wrong With Dying a Thousand Deaths? And then, because I was thinking, because Pac goes, a coward dies a thousand deaths, a soldier dies but once. And then I'm listening, so what's wrong with being a coward? And then And then fast forward to Lauryn Hill on the song Manifest. And I'm realizing is, long story short, is she was suffering. She's talking about how she's she was in love with this man, and this motherfucker wasn't reciprocating. Like, they were in a relationship, but this motherfucker was not reciprocating, was treating her like shit, even though her homegirls were telling her, hey, man, he ain't shit. What's the line she goes? She goes, though my mind saw the deception, my heart wouldn't let me learn. Is that the word she used? But my point is, she would say she was, like, dealing with this toxic motherfucker who she was in love with and wasn't reciprocating, caused her heart to die 1,000 deaths. I thought it was a powerful statement, but also created the image of suffering. Suffering. Sorry. The delay you're hearing is me taking off my sweater. I turned off the fan. Yeah, it's supposed to be chilling here. Turking off my sweater. Ladies, calm down. Holy fuck, where's security? Holy shit. How these ladies get in here? Hold on a second. Do I have a sound effect for that? No, of course not. I don't. I was hoping to get some ladies, you know, being impressed at the fact that I took off my shirt. Yeah. Was this this one? Okay, you know, I need to, you know, there's a lot of, I haven't really, like, configured this thing and put some sounds that I want, but here we are. Where was I? Yeah, me taking off my shirt. Don't leave your girl around me. All right. Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill. So, let's just jump to this week in therapy and the point I'm trying to get at. So, I found myself after walking away from therapy session with the thought of finding the courage to be myself. See, in therapy, I wrote this shit down. Okay, so I feel like this shit could be a sermon. I feel like the answer to my question, what's wrong with dying 1,000 deaths? What's wrong with being a coward? The answer could be a sermon unto itself. And see, this is what happened. This is the thought process that led me to asking that question. It's because while talking to my therapist, I had a moment where I realized that I was stopping myself from putting myself out there because I was worried about the people who would not be happy with that. Yeah, I was letting the haters, I am letting the haters dictate how I live my life.
Who's the home counter?
In that moment, I remember thinking, wait a minute, I'm behaving like a coward. Now here's the thing. It's one thing to be called a coward. It's another thing to realize you're being a coward, right? Shout out to my therapist. Sometimes I'm like, you know, okay, you're saying I'm being a little bitch. Anyways, yeah, without calling me. No, I'm kidding. The important part to what I just said is it's one thing to be called a coward. It's another thing to realize that you're behaving like a coward. Now, here's the other thing that I was noticing is in that moment, while in the realization that, okay, I'm behaving. I'm not saying I am a coward, but I am behaving like a coward. I also noticed then how come I am not feeling shame at the moment. What I'm saying is, like, usually when I feel like I'm doing some cowardice shit, give me something that can give you shame. You're a white person. And you realize you just said something that was racist. You didn't realize it, but you just did something. It's like, how was I supposed to know bringing fried chicken to my black friend's potluck was going to fucking insult these fucking niggas? These niggas are fucking sensitive, but whatever. Right. Okay. Let's just say you recognize, you find yourself doing something racist, misogynistic, something bad, something that you, and you find yourself not feeling ashamed of it. And it's not that. You recognize you're doing something wrong, but the mechanism, the what do you call those things? The preventions, the guardrails you put in your mind to prevent you from doing something wrong aren't being activated. So you find yourself wondering, okay, maybe I'm not doing anything wrong. So what I found myself realizing is I was recognizing that I was doing something cowardice, or I was behaving like a coward. I was allowing the mob, the haters, to tell me what to do, but I wasn't ashamed of it. And it just put me in a position of asking, well, first question was, is it possible that my only motivation at the moment, this version of Be Black that you're talking to, that you're listening to right now, his only reason to not be a coward is shame? In a way, that's a problem. That's a problem. So that's why it led me to ask, okay, let's just say shame doesn't exist. Fuck it. What's wrong with being a coward? Is my only reason to not be a coward is because I'm worried about how someone is going to perceive me? I don't know about you, but that's kind of a problem for me. For me, that's up there with saying, only reason I'm not a rapist, it's because it's illegal. Only reason I'm not into kiddie porn is because, you know, I don't want people to say bad things about me. Only reason I haven't robbed you is because I'm running for office. You know, like, I remember growing up, the idea of heaven, and I didn't realize it at the time, but my main motivation to do kind things was to get into heaven, or was to have people look at me favorably. So it comes back to the whole cowardice situation, the accusation is, what the fuck's wrong with me? How come I'm not feeling shame? And I was feeling like, look, I'm actually doing everything I was taught I was supposed to do. I've been basking in what's wrong with being a coward. What did I write down? Because I got some deeper thoughts in there. It goes from there. I found out that realization. Yeah, we were with that. What's wrong with being a coward? Preventing, like, marinate. Like, for you, what the way you should be thinking about at the moment is, what's your reason to not be a coward? Cowardice? Why am I talking about Brittany Brown in this? Like, she's brave in her chapter. She covered something that made me think about the... Oh, okay. Yeah. bottom line is, now, okay, I've been in situations, like, hold on. Something's wrong with these headphones. Yeah, I've been in situations where I've backed down from a fight. Someone was being an aggressor, came to me, and actually, I was mugged. Yeah, it wasn't really a mugging. What happened is a dude, I had a pocket knife, and I guess it was really cool. I'm not sure. I must have gotten it for camp, from a camp or whatever. But I had this really cool pocket knife. And a friend of mine, or at the time I thought was a friend, his friend comes up to me. Big tough black dude comes up to me and says, hey, let me see your knife. And he takes a look at it and then walks away. And I remember being confused. So I'm like, hey, bro, you know, I think there's some kind of mistake. You kind of have something that belongs to me. And homeboy goes, no, I don't. You kind of took the knife. And I remember he took the tone of keep pressing me. He was like, no, I don't. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Keep pressing me, we're going to have a problem. Like, he made it, he created the circumstance to make me believe, like, okay, I think he's trying to let me know that only way he's going to act right is if I fight him. And I wasn't the fighter type. And I remember just letting him have it. feeling like I had no choice and just letting him walk away. And I remember beating myself, after that event, after I'm calmed down, I'm no longer scared, beating myself up. I'm saying, fuck, man, you let that dude punk you. It drove me nuts. Like, I've always hated that feeling of of backing down from a fight. It's never felt good. Like, sometimes I think getting my ass kicked would have felt better than that feeling of being punked. Now, I also think about how growing up, you know, I had the kind of, you know, like, if you have the kind of parent, like, my parents were the authoritarian types. They believe in corporal punishment, just like their parents taught them. Like, fuck do they know about parenting, man? All they know is, yeah, to discipline your kids, you got to beat them. And I remember that moment of, like, there's that same, I mean, sure, they're your parents, but there was still that feeling of, like, the threat of violence, the threat of getting beaten was enough to get me to, like, behave, to do whatever the fuck you want me to do. What? Clean my room? Sure. Not like, I didn't learn how to be a good kid because it was the right thing to do. No, it's, I just didn't want to get beat. I just didn't, like, that intimidation. Okay, I think what I'm trying to get at is I was starting to feel like I live a life where, look, I'm not a soldier. I am not a soldier. I don't live like Tupac. I don't come from Tupac's world. I am not in a world where I have to make life-threatening decision. Life decision. Like, do I kill or be killed? I am not in that environment. I guess shout out to Brené Brown, because I was listening to session four of her, session four, chapter four, session four of, in her book, The Power of Vulnerability, which I'm getting close to finishing. Actually, quick note, part of why I was thinking about what's wrong with being a coward is because I had taken a break from that book of hers, because the first three chapters made me realize, okay, this book is going to end with her saying, pretty much the idea that I'm getting from her is the power, in order for you to be vulnerable, in order for you to benefit from the goodness, the greatness of being vulnerable, you're going to have to stop being a little bitch. She doesn't talk like that, but this is me paraphrasing. But it's pretty much, I felt like it was a book about being courageous. Vulnerability requires courage. Bottom line. And I remember stopping myself from reading that book because I'm like, look, homegirl, I am not thinking that right now. I am not in that state of mind. Look, I don't need another lecture about how I need to be courageous in this world. Because I felt like courage was like courage was that thing that, like, I feel bad for the, not just the veterans, the soldiers who fucking died so we can live. Well, I mean, the soldiers who died, who were sent like D-Day, like World War II, World War III, basically who were put in harm's way so I could fucking watch porn on my Android today. You know what I mean? Like, it kills me that they exhibited courage, and for what? For my fucking ungrateful ass to live a better life than they did. I guess I felt like the world, why be courageous for a world that's just ungrateful? That's just going to reward you with ungratefulness, or just going to be like, better them than me. Fuck of that. Thank you for dying on the front line, motherfucker. You know, I guess it was just, I felt like there's like two kinds of courage. There's the courage that benefit you personally. Like, hey, you know, you got to show courage to the bully or else the bully will keep coming back. And then there's the courage that like inspire, that benefit others. Like the people who stood back on the Titanic and said, hey, who helped women and children get on those ships. You know, I'm saying women and children, but I'm sure there was a few men in there. It's like, look, I'm a very important executive. I'm getting on these lifeboats. Fuck you, poor person. Yeah, I think when I think of the courageous, I think of all the men and women in our history, in our life, who've been courageous and had nothing to show for. Except a generation of motherfucking ingrates. I don't know, man. Sometimes I think Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, were better off just fucking living their own lives. Fuck that. Just, yeah. like, I don't know. I guess I feel sorry for their legacy. Sure. It's my way of saying they deserved better. That's really what I'm trying to come down to. They deserve better. And, holy shit, I'm not going anywhere. I'm losing sight of the point. Now, I don't really have a point. It was just, I was just having a moment. What's the point of being courageous for a nation of fucking ingrates? Like, I think of white people who will go their entire lives and go to the graves, never once realizing how much they've benefited from white supremacy. Like, they'll never change the same thoughts they had as a kid with respect to racism, black people, and all that stuff is the same thoughts they're going to have when they fucking die. Now, granted, I'm generalizing. Sure, there are exceptions to the rules. There is, there are some exceptions to the rule. Maybe I should focus on them, then focus on the positive, then the negative. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's what was holding me back. But I'm going to fast forward to, because I'm spending more time on this than I wanted to. I'm going to fast forward to, I found myself just Googling, looking up, what's wrong with being a coward? Now, there was an answer on, well, I mean, the question was asked on Quora, which is a weird-ass type of Reddit or a discussion board, and people ask random questions. What's funny is I didn't go on there because, you know, the fucking advertisement on that site just drives me nuts. But I was able to find an article on Medium, excuse me. Jesus Christ, my coffee's going down. Yeah, on Medium.com, and the author's name is Garrett Pettigrew. Pettigrew, that's his name. Fucking you English people and your names. Garrett, and he goes, how not to be a coward. I was going to avoid the article, but in order for him to address how not to be a coward, he talks about what's wrong with being a coward. I love that he shared that line of thinking. And let me read this quote that he put down, because it might be relevant. He goes, the world should not be divided into good and bad people, but into cowards and non-cowards. 95% of cowards are capable of vilest things, lethal things, and mildest threats. Varlam Shalabov. I'm not sure what that is. But yeah, that's actually deep. Yeah, no, he actually... This is my overall take on his article. Is what I like about it is, sure, maybe there are places where you're scared. Like, I would, like, that the society that I live in, I'm justified being just responding to my self-preservation into being scared. Perfect example, at my work this week, what are the odds one of my coworkers are going to listen to this? But at my work, okay, some white person, this is the challenge of working with fucking white people, is every once in a while they'll say some racist shit, they'll do or say some racist shit that they either don't know was racist or don't give a fuck, and you don't know what that character what category it is, but they always, I feel like you're always put in this situation where, Is today the day where I have to stand up like Rosa Parks, or am I better off just shutting the fuck up and going to the back of the bus? Anyways, this white dude during a Zoom call, team calls, just said something racist. I won't go into the details, but basically said something disparaging about the fact that at the end of this month in Canada, I don't know if it's just Ontario, no, I think it's in Canada, at the end of this month, we have a thing called, we have a day dedicated to remembering or to honor, or to think about reconciliation with the indigenous population, the First Nations people. Basically, this is Canada, but this is Canada's first step to being like, oops, sorry, you know, to the first people who lived in this nation. I don't know if you're familiar, you know. Initially, in school, they taught us that the white man and this white woman came to this country, and these pesky fucking natives popped out of nowhere and couldn't let them eat, couldn't let them enjoy themselves on this land that fucking belonged to them. But yeah, they kind of avoided them. They made it sound like they were mosquitoes fucking up their picnics. Anyway, yeah, so Canada has decided to have a day to reflect on, oops, and they gave us a day off. This is pretty much like I'm not going to call it Juneteenth for the indigenous population, but the point is, the point is, we get a day off for that shit. We just get a day off. And of course, people aren't going to, I won't say the majority, but a great portion of Canadians won't be using it, won't be using that day for what it was intended to be. Holy shit, I'm off track. So we get a day off, and this white boy said something like said something disrespectful about that day. And I remember I remember being scared when he said it because I found myself in the uncomfortable situation of asking the question, is today the day where I'm Rosa Parks, or should I shut the fuck up and get to the back of the bus? I chose getting back of the bus. Pissed me off, yeah. But that's what I'm saying is, in order to work to fit in this fucking society, this quote-unquote civilized society, there's going to be times where I have to choose to back down. I can't be like the Punisher and just give in to my rage every time I feel like it. I wish. What am I, a white boy? No, I don't have it like that. No, sometimes I got to shut the fuck up so the train will keep rolling because I don't have the time to educate white people about racism. That's not my fucking job. Okay, woo, I'm getting off topic. But by the way, this is why this show is brought to you by the letter FW. Fuck Whitey, because Whitey be getting on my motherfucking nerves. All right. What I was getting at is, what I like about this article is it made me realize, yes, there are places where I feel like I'm being a coward, but there are places where that matters probably even more that I'm being courageous, that I'm showing courage. And one of them is being able to look at the ugliness inside of me and saying, hey, I need to fix that, or I need to clean that up. I guess I could pat myself on the back with two things. I could pat myself on the back for all the places where I am being courageous, where I am choosing to live by principles or by my values. And when I don't, there are times where I'm able to that's fucked up. When I was thinking about that moment when I was feeling ashamed of my behavior, I wasn't ashamed of realizing that I was behaving like a coward. It was different from someone pointed out saying, hey, no homo, was being homophobic. And it's not that I felt the shame, but it was enough for me to know that, okay, I'm fucking it up. Like, there's two kinds of people in the world. Some people, there's one group is trying to make the world a better place, and the other group is trying to make it as worse than it is already. I want to be the group trying to make it a better place, even if it's as doing small actions as picking up litter, whatever, or stopping myself for saying no homo, playing the no homo game. Right, how about that? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of assholes in this world, and the world doesn't need more assholes. That's really what I'm trying to get at. Words of wisdom, baby. Words of wisdom. Yeah. So I guess I appreciated that article about how not to be a coward. Again, it's going to be in the show notes. The second one, the article that I found was Psychology Today. And what's the title? It goes, Cowards Can Never Be Moral. I agree. Mohandas Gandhi has a quote that says, yes, please, no emails about Mohandas Gandhi. Yes, I know there's some problematic aspect about his life, but let's just focus on the quote. He says, cowards can never be moral. Oh, shit. Yeah, okay. Maybe, you know, so maybe that's the thing that made him, anyways, I like, the article ends with how he was at a party. The author was at a party. Oh, maybe I should tell you the name of the author. His name, he or she's name is Arthur Dobren, DSW. Am I right? Anyway, yeah. He just, there's a story. He just talks about when he's at a party and some poor woman is being harassed by some big, huge dude. And he intervenes, but not like Captain Save-Em, like unhand her, but basically was able to get to the hey, bro, whoa, chill the fuck out. Like, hey, 20 to life, homie, whatever. Just talked, basically was able to talk to the dude enough so the girl could run away from the situation. He didn't fight, confront him, but it was just courage on his end. Turns out the dude he was talking to was fucking Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson was like, hey, motherfucker. Like when the white boy jumped in to like help out the poor woman who's being attacked by Mike Tyson. And he said, calm down. Look, hold on a second. Let's talk about it. You know, let's rationalize. Hold on a second. You know, you got priors, homie. Whatever. And apparently, Tyson told him, you know who I am? And he said, do you know who I am? And he says, yeah, I'm an educated, I'm a nerdy, whatever. But my point is, little acts of courage. It was just a little act of courage went a long way. That's really what I'm trying to get at. So in the grand scheme of things, like when Tupac says a coward dies a thousand deaths, a soldier dies but once, I am not a soldier. And I should be, and I'm learning to be grateful of the fact that I don't have to beat, that I wasn't meant to be a soldier. Holy shit. Shout out to yesterday's episode of House of Dragons because, yeah, man, I would not make it as a king. I'd fuck that shit up, man. I'm too emotional with that shit. Like, I don't, oh, sorry, off topic. I am not a soldier. I am not a king. I am what I am. And I'm grateful that, sure, by some people, by a soldier's definition, I'm probably living like a coward. But by the definition of, hey, what are this way? I was also watching, and this is my third final point. I was also watching this week. I had a chance to rewatch the great Black Panther movie. Dope movie. Dope movie. And I'm realizing that, no, I don't have the strength of the Black Panthers. I have the character strength of T'Challa. That's what I'm trying to say. That's where my courage shows works in my character strength. Now I really hope I'm not bragging. This is a very rare moment that I give myself a compliment or say something nice about myself, but I can admit that, okay, I may not be show up with a cape, super strength, fuck that. Like sometimes I'm scared of dating a hot chick and having all those guys look at her desire. Like I used to, oh my God. Yeah, I used to date this, I remember, I used to date this one woman. She was very pretty, very hot, very, and I was insecure as a motherfucker. I could not handle that situation. There was a time, I still remember how, I think she was able to detect my insecurity, and there was a time where she just like held my hand as a reminder that I am here with you, which was great for that split moment because then I went back to being insecure. But I'm saying, see how I said something nice about myself, then I dissed myself. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, yeah, I do have my fears. I do have some fears that I allow them to bully me into submission, but I do have my moments of standing up and and I guess coming out with this podcast. Oh, I got to read this quote. Yeah, coming up with this podcast is where I'm trying, is where I'm focusing my courage right at the moment. Is there's a line in when T'Challa that I love. He says, who's he talking to? Was he talking to his ancestor? But he says, we let the fear of our discovery stop us from doing what's right. What is right? No more. My man T'Challa. Yeah. And where am I going with this? Nah, no real 3-point, man. I'm just saying. Dealing with the fear of this discovery. The title of this episode was actually, I was debating between a thousand deaths or who I was meant to be. I guess I just figured that thousand deaths just sounded cooler than who I was meant to be, but this is where I'm going with. I'm going to end with this. It goes, Anian, my life goal. By the time I make it to my grave, I'm hoping I will have figured out or lived out the life of who I was meant to be. At the moment, I'm starting to think that I was meant to be the man in the arena. What's the man in the arena? That's some Roosevelt quote. I'm just going to play it instead of reading it out to you. And this will conclude our segment, the This Week in Therapy, after this. I wonder if I can legally play this. Well, but find
out. The poorest way to face life is to face it with a sneer. There are many men who feel a kind of twisted pride in cynicism. There are many who confine themselves to criticism of the way others do what they themselves dare not even attempt. There is no more unhealthy being, no man less worthy of respect, than he who either really holds or feigns to hold an attitude of sneering disbelief toward all that is great and lofty, whether in achievement or in that noble effort which, even if it fails, comes to second achievement. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles.
Fuck that.
Or where the doer of deeds could have done them better.
The critic.
The credit belongs to the man who was actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who, at the best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Teddy Roosevelt. That was Teddy Roosevelt. Whoops, sorry.
Yay!
I'm a funny guy. successful episodes when I make my own self laugh. All right. I just booed a white man. Anyway. All right, okay. Yeah, man. In order for me to be... I was meant to be the man in the mirror, the man in the arena. Shout out to Brandy Brown. She's the one who I'm acting like I know her personally, but yeah, no, she's in one of her talks. She mentions this speech and she said, "The man in the mirror. If you're the man in the mirror, you're gonna get your ass kicked." Now, you know, Teddy Roosevelt. I'm sure he meant to say the person in the arena. Not be this motherfucking, they didn't know better back then, but yeah, but shout out to the ladies listening to this, whether you're a man or a woman, if you're the arena, I salute you as a fellow soldier. There we go. All right. Okay. All right. Yo, I'm actually proud of myself of this, conclusion. All right. Let's all jump to how much time. See, one thing that stresses me out about these, I realize what stresses me out, is I know that I show up with these topics and I'm not really sure what I'm trying to say, even if I've wrote my thoughts down on paper. And what stresses me out is trying to get these thoughts through within an hour. And I'm already at the 47-minute mark. And I'll tell you what, I can understand if you can if you decide to click off, because that was the major sermon. And now I'm just going to jump into, so I won't feel stressed, won't feel too stressed. I'm just going to jump into random thoughts. Maybe I have a theme song for random thoughts. But first random thoughts, I am going to, you know what, I'm not going, okay, I was going to play an interview. I'm not going to play the interview. I'm just going to, just a random thought. Yeah, but the link to the Reddit post will be in the show notes. And it's this woman who, and her kids, who's, I guess, just survived the flood. There's a lot of fucking floods in the States, in the world. There's a site called Flood List. There was some flooding, I think, in Texas. I had to look it up but I think it was a Texas, and CNN shows up on the scene wanting to interview flood survivors, and they interview this one black woman, and the interview starts calm but ends with her with the black woman being, look, what the fuck you do with this microphone in my face. We're suffering here. You see me shivering, and the first thing that comes to mind is to interview me. Now, a lot of people watched it, I guess in the comment section, watched it and were like, well, if you didn't want to be interviewed, why did you accept to be interviewed? And someone in the top commenter, shout out to that person, wrote how what you're looking at the moment is shock. This poor woman is probably had her thoughts is all over the place. CNN shows up with a microphone and to ask questions that, to be honest, whatever. Okay, I am not, the point to this random thought is not, I'm not going to attack the interviewer, even though it was bad taste, and I'm not going to, and the poor woman who just reacted the way she reacted is, what I am going to react to is, what bothers me is how news has become a form of entertainment for us, or just a distraction or something to put the TV on so these fucking news station can sell you vacuum cleaners or whatever, get you to watch advertisement states. The thought came to mind when CNN and all these news network were like during the war in Ukraine, and they were just showing us all kind of fucking footage at angles, talking to civilians, walking their way, goes, hey, can you tell us how much your life sucks at the moment? Can you tell us how shitty your life is in this particular moment? Like, I'm listening to that moment. I'm like, how exactly is this information benefiting me? Like, I understand you telling me about a war going on in the world or about a flood or whatever, but how exactly, what details do I need to know from this poor woman? I don't know, maybe some of you listen to these interviews and actually do something constructive, which for these people, probably watch the news and be like, okay, I'm going to volunteer some time or I'm going to donate. But no, I'm just listening to this poor woman pour out her heart. Look, all I know is I would hate to be in her shoes. Mainly the idea that the world is looking at me, going through my shitty situation, through the tornado or whatever, and not giving or pretending to give a fuck or talking about thoughts and prayers. Like the people who survive school shootings or the parents you have the victims or the relatives or the people, the loved one of those victims. Like, I don't know, man. It just shit that, yeah, okay, I'm getting a little negative, but it just bothers me. So I'm going to jump to a next one, and I'm debating on whether to use her name. First, I'm going to say shout out to local influencers, not just influencers, local content creators, because you folks inspire me. You make this work feel, see, there's popular content creators out there in the world that I will never meet, that whose content I will admire, but the local ones, you inspire me more than the popular one, because it feels, when I look at you and the struggles you go through, I feel like I could be next, but it makes it, it's like sharing a hobby together. It just influences me it reminds me of like when I'm after doing a comedy set, being in that red room. Is it a green room or a red room? Green room. Fuck. It's a green room. Sorry, yeah. In the room where all the comics hang out after. And I love that moment of just being with all kinds of people and in that room, just shooting the shit. And we're all talking about our set, their set, someone else's set, or just random things that are on our mind. And it was just like a feeling of being around people who have the same talent, kind of like that. Look, shout out to local content creators. With that said, I am going to bring up a story of, all right, I'm going to say her name. Not that it just doesn't. Okay, the reason I'm hesitant on saying her name is because, first off, I'm going to start off by saying, like, look, man, one of my biggest pet peeves in this life is when black people put me in a situation where I'm fucking defending a white person, especially a white woman. I fucking hate it, man. My name is B Black. It's off brand. How the fuck is my name's gonna be B Black and y'all got me defending a fucking white person? Anyways, let me just go. Okay. So the name of this content creator, her name is Gabby Gatineau. Gatineau is it doesn't matter. I live in Ottawa. Shout out to the Red Blacks. I live in Ottawa, and Gatineau is just like a bridge away from us. This is where all the French people live. It's part of the province of Quebec. Whatever. Her name is Gabby Gatineau. She's a French Canadian content creator. And she's got this thing that she, this one skit that was, that caused her to go viral. And what it is she pretends to be, she's blonde, right? She pretends to be this dumb white woman who cooks foreign cuisine. And once she did, you know, she did that for, she did it with Haitian food. I'm laughing, okay? I'm laughing. The shit was fun, okay? To me, what made it funny is the fact that I wasn't sure if it was real or not. It was like watching Stephen Colbert back in the days with the Colbert Report when he was pretending to be a conservative, a Republican. And he just did it amazing. He did it so well that Republicans thought he was for real. That would say, "Hey, man, I know what you mean. Them fucking liberals need to die." And not realizing that he was just, it's pure, sheer satire. So I found it funny. Now she ended up next posting an apology video, and this is where shit gets complicated. She she posted sorry, they mean to laugh, trying to be serious here. She posts an apology video because she was getting a lot of hate for those skit. Now, I won't lie, while watching her skit, I couldn't tell if it was real or not. And the part that me that thought that was real did have a moment where I was like, fuck it, white people. Fuck it, got that. But I wasn't angry, but it was more like the part of me that didn't know that whether it was real or not, that thought it was real, was just like, yeah, another white person saying something stupid about black people and or whatever. But the part of me that was like, no, I think it's a joke, just laughed. So she was getting, she posted an apology because she was getting hatred from people who didn't think it was funny and thought that she was mocking foreign dishes, for like these dishes from like near to their heart. And like one of them, she did this one dish, it's called fufu, F-U-F-U. I guess, and like one of the person commented, said, look, all your video did was remind me of all the times white kids made fun of my dishes. Now, okay. This is where the part of this conversation gets complicated, I'm not trying to go viral with this shit. I'm just trying to speak my mind. Okay. The black side in me can relate to that. The black side in me probably, I won't talk about what made her apology not perfect. Well, pretty much her apology kind of came off a little bit like, even though, okay, I want to be clear. This is my black side talking, and then I'm going to, my fellow content creator side kicking in. So I'm starting slightly negative. Like if Gabby Gatineau's fans are listening to this, they'll be like, hey, man, don't be shitting on her. I'm just going to say, look, her apology was not perfect. It sort of came off like another white person apologizing for doing blackface and using the response like, look, it's not my fault that you found something that I thought would be funny, not funny. I felt there was a little small element of that. Like, I do believe she was trying. Like, white people in this country are, when it comes to understanding other people, people's culture, understanding people who do not look like them, holy fuck, most of them get a fucking F. anyways, so I could see the element of sorry for doing blackface. It wasn't blackface. I know I'm exaggerating. It was just, I don't understand why you people are angry. You know what I mean? Or get a sense of humor. Well, and also, the thing is, a lot of black people who enjoyed her humor were like backing her and were saying, hey, those people are just being sensitive. So this is what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to legitimize everyone's, not everyone, the people who I do feel have a point is, I would acknowledge the person who said, hey, those jokes just reminded me of all those times. I was in school and the white kids made fun of my food. I can understand that. Now here, fellow content creator comes in. When I saw her apology, it was probably a few days or probably on the day of leaving therapy and thinking about how, okay, you know what? Fuck this, man. I'm not letting haters dictate my content. Fuck that. I'm going to put shit out there. And if they don't like it, they could all suck my dick. So I remember feeling like a sort of, fraternité, like a solidarity with her as a content creator who put herself out there. Her intentions, what I believe, were to be funny, and then felt the backlash of it. That's where I sympathize with this person. In the comment section, I actually defended, I actually said, I understand what you're trying to do, what you were trying to do with the apology. Well, see, I believe in this principle in comedy that says, if you have to explain the punchline, it's no longer a joke. So because in her apology, she was pretty much explaining herself, look, it was just a joke. This is what I was just trying to do. I was making fun of, it was self-deprecating humor against white people. I understood that. And because she made that apology, it kind of ruined, it took away from the me not knowing whether she was joking. Because that's what, to me, made it really fucking hilarious. With that said, this is where I'm defending this white woman. Look. Black people, the people who took offense to her clip, your anger might be justified. It could be justified. Who knows? And I mean, like, write it out or explain yourself. Your cruelty isn't. What bothered me about some of the people who were expressing their anger against this, against her, was the cruelty, and some of them was just like, I felt was bullying. Because they know they got white people, this white person in a corner where, hey, I got you backed against the corner. Because look, I just yelled racism. You can't be, ain't no defense. Basically, she was, like, they put her in a situation where her black friends got to jump in and be like, not like, hey, no, she's not racist because I'm her friend. But it's more like, it's I feel like it's like, explaining, it's like a white person explaining racism to another white person. I feel like it's a conversation. She created something that a conversation between us as a people should be had. Kind of like T'Challa and Killmonger. But for her, I can understand, like, you know, high five for her for trying to look, A, not to get herself canceled, but B, acknowledge, like, look, it was a joke. The part in her apology that really got me is what she talked about. Look, some of you people have been cruel. Hey, what do you mean you people? No. She said, some of you people have been cruel. And from a mental health point of view, like, come on, man, what the fuck? Look, and this, yeah, I agree with her. If you didn't like it, walk away. Like, walk away. Just don't fucking do like you do with this podcast. Don't listen to it. Just don't, you know, you could do more damage by just not listening, by not reacting to it. Because as a creator, you'll be like, fuck, I thought it was, you know, whatever. But reacting to it, I feel like some of the people who reacted to her content did so to promote their own selves. Yeah, see, that's not legit. To me, that's like, you see a popular trending influencer and then you jump in with your reaction video to get more. I mean, whatever, man. It's a fucking dirty game. Maybe that's how this shit gets played. You got to take advantage of these moments. I'm thinking of a scene in Atlanta where there's a character in Atlanta. He's a rapper and he's got a hater online and he talks about, look, the reason I'm hating on you is, dude, man, I'm profiting off you're using black culture, you're using rap culture to promote yourself, I'm using you to promote myself, whatever, I don't know, whatever, right? Look, all this to say, to repeat the point of, your anger might be justified, your cruelty isn't. Like, I draw the line at the cruelty, like, come on, man, leave this white woman alone. Write your think pieces, express your thoughts, but if I don't know if she's got any black friends who could explain this to her, you know, like the my blackface analogy, but how, you know, some people might take it, like, I don't know. I remember in my comment section, I wrote, I said, and I meant this, I was sincere, is it did bother me that the people who didn't get the joke or didn't like the joke or didn't see it as a joke pushed it to the point of having to make an apology. It did bother me. But then again, I'm not in her place. Like, this is a very popular content, and she's just about ready to go host the Oscars, and then this shit comes up. We don't have Oscars in Ottawa, in Canada. The Junos, whatever the fuck. Anyways, yeah, this could fuck up her career in the future. I can understand that from a PR point of view doing that. But it does suck. It does suck that I believe in her intentions was just to be funny. And something misfired, and maybe, you know, just a little explanation so she could tweak her set. She could, you know, who's really good at making, like, those kind of jokes? Bill Burr. And I think what it is from her is at least he takes the time to understand the culture before he disses it, before he makes jokes about it. You know, and yeah, maybe that's another note for white people, especially in this fucking country. When you're about to make jokes at the expense of someone else's culture, understand that you're walking a motherfucking tight rope. It's not easy. It's not fucking easy. A lot of, like, back in the days, white people used to paint themselves black so they can make black jokes. All of them don't understand that for us, we don't see a human being just making fun of us. We see a fucking oppressor who's been making fun of us. And now, like, they need to understand the context, our history. I like the saying, look, if it's not funny to everybody, then it's not funny at all. Like, if I'm going to make fun of cancer survivors, that joke better be funny to them, or else I'm an asshole. That's who should be laughing at the joke first. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So, did I have a conclusion for this thing? I said, don't trust white people to get it right. Yeah. No, I already said this, but yeah, man, I'm taking the position of back off, saying to the mob, back off, even though y'all not going to listen to me. I don't know. Maybe I should pray to have her problems. Because, like I said, she's a popular content creator. Like, that's what, maybe, I don't know, like, maybe gratefulness that she made it this far. You know, she's going to be all right. Look at me, like, talking about this white woman like she's in a fetal position and drinking herself silly. Nah, she's going to be all right. I saw she created a second account. She'll be all right. This is just my thoughts on good for her for doing the apology. And I don't know, who knows? Maybe one day I'll be in that position where I'll make a joke on this podcast that doesn't go too well. And the people defending me are like, man, fuck them sensitive bitches, man. I'm fucking woke liberals. Fuck them. And yeah. And maybe I should. Yeah. Look forward to having those kind of problems. All right. Okay. Let's go. Random thoughts. What else did I have? Okay. Yeah. This is something I tweeted. I said, Canadian politics is so fucking boring. Like, I think about in our last election, last provincial election, we had a very low motherfucking turnout, a ridiculous turnout. Like, and the asshole who no one likes got reelected. Well, because he knew that, you know, he survives off low turnouts. But what I'm getting at is, if politics is theater and no one's watching the show, should we blame the audience or should we blame the fucking people responsible for the theater? I don't have a solution to this. I was just thinking about how I was listening to a recent episode of Canada Land, or I forget, like how much energy it takes me to consume Canadian content. And I'm like, man, step up your game. But I mean, what do I want? Do I want politicians in Canada to have the same scandals as the politicians in the United States? Is that what I'm asking for? Or is it my fault for, or, you know, I should just tough it out. So look, man, it is what it is. The shit's boring. I don't have a point, man. I'm just thinking about how the idea that politics is a theater. Yo, this might be a bit, by the way. Yeah. Politics is a theater, and the theater in Canada, holy shit, could use some classes and being entertaining, because you motherfuckers are boring. You know what? I'm starting to think that that's probably what Trump and Pierre Poli, I forget his last name, but all the fucking woo cuckoo in politics running. These guys know how to make their shit entertaining so that people who aren't usually interested in politics will get involved. Maybe that's what the Republicans, the conservatives are getting right. It's like, look, we need to tap dance, put on a motherfucking show, get the circus in town so we can get some voters. Because that's who, like, they're scraping. Now, you know, a voter is a voter, I guess. But I'm saying they're scraping down the la chaudière, comment dit chaudière en anglais? The container where you, the pot, you know, when you cook the pot, the big pot, and when the stuff that gets stuck at the bottom of when it's hot, and the shit that get, like, if you're boiling rice and you don't put enough grease in there, there's gonna be rice that's like stuck at the bottom, and you gotta scrape that shit if you want it on your plate. Yeah, so that's what these politicians do. They're scraping at the bottom, and they know they can't entertain the voters who went to school or who think for themselves or who don't believe in talking snakes or who know that talking snakes aren't real. You know what? Where I'm going with this? I'm just saying, hold on a second, control C. Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't have an answer to the question. I'm just pointing out how Canadian politics, how fucking boring it is. But is it for me to put up with it, or is it for them to, like, fucking, hey, come on, Trudeau, man, come on, start, come on, fuck, you might have to put blackface again. don't do that. All right, okay, another point that I got here. I said, okay, two more points before we go for recess. Dear white people, don't be mad at me for the fact that there are black people in your fictitious world. What happened is yesterday's episode of, so this is a Monday, and yesterday was an episode of House of the Dragon, and there was a lot of black people in that fucking that episode, but it made sense because I guess they were related to the character who was black, and and it wasn't, they didn't do it in a way that made it like, okay, you're just adding black people, so Be Black won't be, will stop saying fuck whitey. Nah, it fit in the story. But apparently there's some white people who are angry about that. Of course, you know, who are mad. It's like, yo, fucking the books, they're not black. What? I already talked about this, you know, Steve Toussaint, is that his name? How he said, yeah, fuck y'all. And, but what I'm saying is, I never asked George R.R. Martin to put black characters in his made up world. But I'm happy he did. I'm happy he didn't do it in a way that was just, oh, he just put black people to make me. Look, there was a scene in yesterday, fucking probably a small spoiler alert, but you're going to see, there's a scene where there's a black dude on a fucking dragon that he didn't steal. Fucking blew my mind. I've credited myself for having a vivid imagination, especially when I'm trying to imagine bad things happening to me. My imagination is fucking cool. Like, my imagination is all over the place. If you have a conversation with me, you'll be like, woohoo, B, Jesus. And this is while I'm sober. While I'm sober, I will say some of the most fucked up things that you can imagine. But one thing, up until yesterday's episode, I would have never said, two words I would have never been in the same sentence, is black guy riding a dragon. There was a black dude riding a fucking dragon, and that shit blew my mind. Shout out to George R.R. Martin, man. A fucking black, a nigga on a nag. No, a nigga on a dragon that he owned. That was his. Talking about Dracarys. Oh, fucking spoiler alert. Anyway, yeah. Talking about Dracarys blew my mind. Anyway, yo, it was, I know that wasn't the whole episode. It was a good episode, whatever, right? But the bonus, the extra bonus for someone like me was seeing a fucking black guy on a dragon, and it wasn't a punchline. It was like part of this. Dude, man, okay, I'm getting a little emotional. I feel like crying. But, man, yeah, man. I'm trying to enjoy these moments, but I can't stop myself from fucking thinking about these angry. They're not going away. I get it. These white people who are angry that these black characters are being introduced. Oh, that reminds me, being introduced in these TV series, Power of the Ring, The Power of the Ring, that's what it's called? The Power of the Ring? There's a new series on Prime, Amazon Prime, and it has something to do with the Lords of the Ring. I was never really into the Lords of the Ring, but this series, I'm watching it, I'm like, what the fuck? A black hobbit? What the fuck? What's with all these black characters showing up? And I won't lie, a part of me loves to watch these shows and pretend to be one of these angry white people. And every time something goes, like, let's say, I think it, one of the Star Trek, they have a black captain. And every time something goes wrong, I say, see, that shit wouldn't have happened if a white guy was in charge. You know, I just like pretending to be like the especially, or if it's a woman I like to pretend to be like the angry white guy being like, fuck yeah, fucking affirmative action hire. That's why the fucking Klingons are fucking shooting us down until, you know. And once it gets a solution, I like forget about it. Once the captain, the black marginalized, the female captain, black captain, the whatever the fuck they did, or superhero does something right, saves the day. I'm like, I ignore it. I'm like, okay, whatever. You just got lucky. Fuck that. Bring back white people. Bring back a white man in charge. Anyway, yeah. That was just my middle finger for y'all people. All right, okay, man. I want to shut this shit down. The last part, because I was trying to be a little positive. I'm going to have a song of the day. Song of the week, sorry. Because every episode I make like a playlist, which I don't use. Sometimes I'll share, sometimes I won't. But the song that really inspired a lot of the thinking on this episode is called, I hate when I make notes and I lose them. Okay, it's called This Is Me by Kiala Settle. The greatest song, Kiala Settle and the greatest showman ensemble. I guess it's part of some TV show or whatever. By the way, because I want you guys to go back to recreation, I got prepared for. Oh my God, holy shit, sorry for, okay, yeah, I gotta go, but the lyrics are deep, and the song, that the line that keeps repeating in my head was who I was meant to be, which is how this probably nearly became the title of today's episode. But yeah, check out the lyrics, this is what I'm trying to say, check out the lyrics. If you've listened to this podcast and were able to, especially what I said in This Week in Therapy, if you were able to connect to what I was saying in that part, the song you want to listen to and analyze the lyrics and gain inspiration from is This Is Me by Kiala Settle. In second place is If I Die Tonight by Tupac. Because pussy and paper is poetry, power and pistol. Not pussy, not paper. Pussy and paper is poetry, power and pistol. Let that shit marry. All right, this concludes today's episode. Hold on a second. Yeah, I feel a sense of relief. I feel relief. All right. This concludes today's, this week's episode. Holla at me on Twitter. My name is at BBlizak, BBLIZAK. The website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And until further notice, until I get my act together, until I work out this marketing plan, subscribe to the podcast using our RSS feed. The link is on, just go to the website. You'll see the link on there. Thank you for listening. You know what? I'm thinking on giving you a list of the podcasts that I listen to during the week, but that's for future episodes. So yeah, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.